Good evening. My name is Barbara Florville, and I have the third word. It comes from John 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. The 2018 election for the governor of Georgia ended with Democratic candidate Stacey Abrams acknowledging that her opposition would become governor through voter suppression of millions of citizens in Georgia. In what was arguably one of the greatest upsets in recent election history, minus 2016, Abrams ended her candidacy with these words. So, to be clear, this is not a speech of concession. She says, concessions means to acknowledge an action is right, true, or proper. As a woman of conscience and of faith, I cannot concede. And so Abrams stood in that moment in the face of great loss of hope in a democracy she held dear, to have missed the mark on what is right, true, and proper. And in this text, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is also standing beneath the greatest loss of her life. Nailed to a cross, Mary stood there watching her son Jesus' life slip away. And as she watches him wince and bleed, imagine her remembering all those things she treasured in her heart about her son. The day the angels in the fields were singing, "Glory to God in the highest," treasure. The day Jesus was lost at the festival and they found him in the temple, treasure. The day Elizabeth's child leaped in the womb at the presence of her unborn son, treasure. When Jesus made the party lit again, when he turned water into wine, treasure. I'm in a Baptist church, okay? What do you do when what you treasure becomes the object of absolute tragedy? What do you do when you stand somewhere in the middle of saying what Mammy Till said when the news outlets came to see her son Emmett Till in his casket, saying, "Let them see what they did to my little boy"? Or are you wanting to climb up there and take Jesus down yourself? Or are you calling down from heaven to ask God, "Why'd you let me have this good thing if you would have me stand here and watch him die?" You'd know some of what Mary feels if you just not go too far into the corners of your mind to imagine spending moments, minutes, days, hours, or years loving a dream and watching it die. If you ever have treasured something and had to let it go, if you've ever fought for something and had to surrender it over to life, if you've ever experienced the loss of something that was supposed to be a good thing, if you've ever had a treasure in your heart one day and had to behold tragedy the next, you'd know that Mary was not just standing there. You'd know that Mary was eulogizing her son with tears and silence, with her heart beating against the walls of her soul, asking God, "Why would you give me this assignment of loving and treasuring and beholding this good thing just to let me watch him die?" And as if it was all throughout Jesus's ministry, he had a response for that question that hadn't been asked aloud. for every pain that is not articulated and for every hope that has yet to be found, Jesus has an answer. And in his divinity, Jesus reached past the pain of his humanity. In that moment, from his cross, I'd imagine, he saw Mary carrying her own cross. And Jesus makes this call, behold. In scripture, behold acts as an imperative, but also as an interjection. One scholar describes it as the utterance of one who wishes that someone not neglect something for another. Jesus does not just give a command to Mary, but Jesus offers an interjection in the midst of her pain, in the midst of the cacophony of noises, in the midst of Pharisees and Sadducees screaming, save yourself, in the midst of one robber asking for salvation and another sealing his damnation, in the midst of the chaos of the veil getting ready to tear and a temple getting ready to crumble, Jesus has something to say in the midst of all of this. Woman, behold. Woman, behold. Woman, behold. It is the interjection in the midst of your loss and the midst of your pain. Woman, behold, that in the very midst of your tragedy is possibility. Woman, behold, what you lose in an earthly son, you're gaining in an eternal savior. Woman, behold, though you think you've lost, you've actually gained an opportunity to believe in God, Jesus says. Woman, behold. And for everyone who has ever lost, Jesus is calling you up a little higher to behold. For every woman who has ever watched an empire crucify her child, Jesus says, mother Sandra Bland, mother of Trayvon Martin, mother of Freddie Gray, behold. For every person whose rugged cross were the streets of Birmingham or Baltimore or Ferguson, somehow, some way, behold. For every woman who has ever had to eulogize their dream in tears and silence, Jesus says, woman, behold. For every mother hustle and Mrs. Hustle who's had to go the rest of the marathon without their brother, their son, their husband, Nipsey, behold. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For every person who's ever had to call on the name of Jesus so they would not lose their minds, behold, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. For everyone who has ever felt like the least, the last, the lost, the left behind, the defeated and the deluded, and precluded from the promises of God, behold. And for every person who has ever felt like God had conceded on their lives, you need to know that even on a cross, in the face of all your tragedy, there is something that you should not neglect. Jesus makes a clarion womanist call, a divine interjection that says, so to be clear, this is not a concession speech. Concession means to acknowledge an action is right or true or proper or that this is over. Beloved, behold that this is not a concession speech. Jesus is saying, I do not concede. I do not concede the mother who raised me. I do not concede the brother who walked with me. I do not concede the sister who gave me water at the well. Hagar, I still see you. Hannah, I still hear you in the temple. And Mary, I still love you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, though it looks like you're down for the last count, Jesus is saying to you, I do not concede you. I do not concede on your dreams. I do not concede on your fears. I do not concede on your hope. I do not concede on your worries. I do not concede on your sorrow. I do not concede on your grief. I do not concede on your pain. I do not concede on your future. I do not concede on your joy. And I do not concede on your treasures. I've taken them all with me to the cross. I'm bearing it all on the cross. Because the devil did not make it a fair fight. And the devil pulled out a redacted report on his role in sin. That is why I'm stepping in. Jesus says, I'll go head to head with your demons. You will never be alone. I'll go toe to toe with your pain. But first of all, you have got to know, I do not concede you. I do not give up. I do not surrender. Woman of God, man of God, behold, your treasures have not been forfeited. Though they've tried to pawn them off, though they've tried to cast lots, little do they know, God still owns all the cattle on all the hill. Little did they know that you saw the first miracle of water into wine at a pretty lit party. And you're going to behold the last miracle as it comes to pass. But until then, woman, man, behold. Behold that this is not a concession speech. Amen.